Thanks for tuning in to the Entertainment News Break on the Let's Get Ready Network, the place for coverage of all the things you love. On this feed, we cover movies, TV, video games, and more. If you're interested in supporting the network, you can subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/LGR_network. And please leave a rating and a review of this episode. Enjoy the show, everyone. New tracks like who's that? I'm new, come back better than last. Yeah, it's a new me, never gonna look back. You're never gonna look back. Cause damn, I was built to last. You move slow and I move fast. And that's facts. Only I can make a change. Slowly take a step today. I will never be the same. Cause that's what it takes.
All right, guys, how's everybody doing? Another Entertainment News Break where we're going to be breaking down some of the stuff that's happened this past week and everything else. Hope everybody's having like a really good night and everything. My co-host is going to be joining me shortly. He's trying to eat. And for him, I know that's a very big thing. What's up, Derpy Entertainment? How you doing? Thank you for joining us. But yeah, man, like there's a couple things we're going to be going over. Now, one of the first things I will be going over, usually we start with the box office, but I'm going to kind of do something a little bit different tonight. I'm actually going to watch a trailer, not just any trailer, but the video game trailer for Jedi Survivor. I'm going to watch that live with you guys and kind of get my first reactions of it. It's the new game. It's the newest game. It's going to be a sequel basically to Jedi Fallen Order. And it's called Jedi Survival. So let's go ahead and throw that up there. And let's see how it is. Okay, so it's game image footage. 5 years. Not going to be a lot of gameplay, I don't guess, on this trailer. Looks good. Oh, look at that, dude.
Tried to resist. Fear and mistrust rule the galaxy.
Oh, man, that frog. Not the frog, man. That dude's like a cross between like a Mandalorian and some other stuff.
Look into the fire. It will warm you. Keep you company. But left unchecked, it will consume everything until there is only ash.
Like the Uncharted and Star Wars.
How could you let?
Which is actually a good thing, I think. I think it's been pretty good.
Unworthy machine of an empire.
Nice. I don't know who that is. Whoa, is that Thanos?
I think we finally found somewhere the Empire can't reach us.
I think he's got a cool little droid too. He's actually one of the coolest ones I've added to this.
Place that's worth fighting for, no matter the cost.
Oh, damn, look at that. Well, they treating that guy wrong, son. Well, guys, I hope y'all had a good time watching it, man, because that right there is pretty exciting. That's one good news item that we'll be talking about with Star Wars. And that's Jedi Survivor. I think it's going to be good. Jedi Fallen Order was like really well received and everything else. And this game right here looks like it's going to be able to, you know, maybe capitalize on that, maybe even go even further and stuff like that. Let's go. But, you know, like I said on the top, one of the first things that we do is go over the box office. And we'll go on to that right now. So, box office, the top five from this past weekend. Starting at number five, we're going to put Ant-Man and the Wasp up there, steadily dropping. They are pretty good amount of money, though, overall. They made just over $4 million this weekend. 65 still in the top five with just under $6 million. Creed 3 still knocking folks out with over $15 million at the number three spot. Scream 6 is throwing its own haymakers, you know, as well. Just over $17 million. Shazam, Fury of the Gods with a $30 million box office. But even though it's number one, at the box office right now. It's one of those deals where when it comes to it, like, it's a disappointment that a movie was made for crap loads of money and everything else. And, like, so they expect for that to be doing, a lot higher money, you know what I'm saying? Like, even Ant-Man, who has been seeing a little bit of pushback and everything else, is still making okay money, whereas Shazam's over here, like, it's hurting just because, like, that is not the, like, opening that you expect for, like, a comic book movie with a big character, or, you know, even with some of that. So I think that's probably the most surprising. Even though it's number one at the box office this past weekend, it's a pretty low number to start off with when it comes to that. But, yeah, I think the rest of it kind of fell in line. It's basically the movies that came in order. Some of the movies that's been out, like Creed's been out a couple, like at least a week ahead of Scream 6. So Scream 6 is still a little bit higher because it's still getting some of those rewatchabilities and stuff like that on its second weekend. Creed's, like, I think now on his third weekend and down the line. So none of that stuff was a surprise. But like I said, the biggest surprise was Shazam hitting the number one, but only reaching 30 million. Matt, bro, what do you think about, what's up with Shazam? Because you've actually seen it. I haven't seen it yet.
I mean, I don't know what they expected for this movie. I never heard a number or anything like that. I mean, 30 is low, but I mean, I hear what I've read a lot of people talking on Twitter and stuff, and like a lot of them were saying, you know, why would I see a movie that James Gunn already shut down the characters, that they're not going any further? Why do I want to invest any time or money into this? I get that argument, but it was a good movie and I liked it better than the first one.
Right. So like you, so if you've seen both of them, you think you like it better than the first one, but that's one of the reasons why I think that it's going to fall through at the box office as well. And that's why I'm not excited to see it. I will eventually see it and everything, but one of the reasons why I'm not excited to see it is for what you just said.
Yeah.
Like, why would I be excited when they came out with all this news? I think they should have waited for some of that news probably till, you know, their last movie that wasn't going to be part of this new James Gunn kind of directed DC to come out. They probably should have held that James Gunn news until, like, all their stuff was out. Because, like, there is really no excitement. There's nothing that's going to come away from this. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing that's going to be added to this. There's not going to be any more to this story. One of the things I was afraid of is that the movie sets up a possible another sequel, like a Shazam 3. But, like, why would you even do that now? Like, or they're not going to go forward with that anyway. So, like, if it does tease that, it's not going to happen. And that kind of situation, that's one of the reasons why I think some people kind of held back. But I also think that, like, something that we've talked about a little bit with MCU when it comes to Ant-Man, Quantumania, and stuff like that is simply, I do think we are starting to see the first real signs. People said it way too early, way before they should have said it, but use this particular word and phrase, and that is superhero fatigue. Like now, say a few years ago, you make a superhero movie, people's going to show up, right?
Yeah.
Probably more than normal of any other kind of movie, right? Just because it's a superhero movie, it's got a superhero character and stuff like that. But now, since we've had so many movies over the years with all these different superhero movies and stuff like that, and a lot of them follow the same kind of guidelines in a lot of cases, right? There's differences because there's different powers, whatnot, maybe a different bad guy. But the movies kind of fall in line in certain formulas and stuff like that. But I think unless the movie is something special or it's got something different or, you know, any of that kind of stuff, I actually think that superhero movies are going to start going further and further and further, further down until a change takes place.
Yeah.
Because it's so oversaturated. Almost every few months, we get some kind of a new superhero style movie and stuff like that. And I just think it really is starting to set in with people. You can't just make a superhero movie. You have to make it intriguing. You have to set up a great story and stuff like that. Right. So like, let's say Marvel keeps going down its line. It's going. And let's say it sets up a great bad guy in Kang or something like that for a movie later on. I think that movie will do great because it's going to be this big setup. But if you don't have those kind of things, I just don't think the movies are going to do as big as and be as big and as great as what they was.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, I'll say something else too. I just saw Dungeons and Dragons on Sunday. And dude, Marvel and DC was a little better in Shazam. But they need to step up their digital effects because Dungeons & Dragons is blowing them both away. Whatever studio they use for the effects is way
better. Yeah, we won't go into spoilers because some people did get to see that. I thought that was actually a really cool way to open the film. Now, it might hurt its first weekend's box office numbers. I don't know how that's going to work because there's people that already went and seen it. But, like, you seem to enjoy it, so you might even would go see it a second time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of thing. But, yeah, that's pretty crazy. I'm pretty hyped about it, D&D. I played D&D. Dungeons & Dragons is a really fun thing. I used to play with some friends of mine and stuff like that. And so that's really cool to actually see, like, come together. And I'm super excited after seeing, like, a lot of people actually like it. Like, the Rotten Tomatoes score so far for the people that did see it, like, the critics was in the upper 80s and the audience score was in the 90s. But we will say this, right? So, like, I got some information here. Shazam did cost $110 million to make. $30 million ain't gonna cut it, because what you have to do is, like, double to triple that to even make profits. And everything
to cover the advertisement budget and all that.
Right. And and like the numbers that we go over was domestic, but, like, overseas, $38 million from 78 markets, including bombing in China. It bombed in China for, like, only $4.5 million. That's, like, crazy. The critic score for this movie is a 54% compared to 90% for the 2019 film. And it's got a B plus cinema score, which ain't bad, right?
No.
It's a little lower than the first movie, but it is that. So, like I said, I just think this got hurt mainly because of the news that came out with James Gunn taking over and everything else. And, like, you know, where's the excitement going to be when you know the story's not going to go any further?
Yep. Yeah, no, totally. I understand that argument.
But, yeah, so let's go on next to the next topic.
Right, I'm excited about this one. Yeah.
You're excited about this one? A Gladiator sequel, it looks like, maybe coming out. We got Barry. I do not know how to say this last name, so I'm going to butcher it. But Barry Keoghan?
I think that's
Keoghan.
Right.
It's one of the two. It's either Keoghan or Keoghan. But and Denzel Washington's are in talk to join Ridley Scott's Gladiator sequel. Two pretty good, like, actors right there. Know, because, like, Barry, he was a Oscar nominee for The Banshee and stuff like that here recently. So you got some good actors and everything else. The sequel will star Paul Mescal, a recent Oscar nominee for After Sun. So that's, like, another Oscar nominee. Denzel's been nominated, and I think he's won one or two Oscars as well.
Yeah.
Who says to be playing Lucius, the nephew of Joaquin Phoenix's character Commodus. The role was played by Spencer Treat Clark in the original film. So I guess that's, like, the little kid. And it has a release date for November 22nd of 2024. So about a year and a half from now.
Yeah.
I don't know how excited I am of this. This is another one of those things to me that's going to be rolling out because of what happened with Top Gun and how great and how much money Top Gun made. Top Gun made a bunch of money, basically taking the story and, you know, making a sequel from a story that was, like, you know, 15 years or so in the past, brought it back. Actually, it probably even more than that, because I think that movie was made, like, in the 80s. So it's probably, like, more like 20, 25 years. And now we're going to be seeing these, oh, wait, a lot of people love Gladiator. Let's go make a sequel and, like, let's put a story in there with some different characters and stuff, but with some of the same people at least involved a little bit. I just don't know what to think. It does have good actors available for this. It does have people that looks like, you know, at least there's going to be that part of it. But, like, how excited is people going to be for a Gladiator story that, to me, looks like possible money grab because of what Top Gun was able to do?
Yeah. Well, it says that Ridley Scott's been developing the project for years. So I don't know if that's since Gladiator or what. But, I mean, I'm excited because I think Denzel would be amazing in the Gladiator times. Like, I like period pieces, so I like seeing all that stuff. But, yeah, I mean, he has me excited. I don't actually know who the other actor is. I'm sure if I saw his face or something, I'd recognize him. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. He was for that Banshees movie.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I can't say, like, I'm super excited for the project, but hearing Denzel might be in it, that's exciting to me.
Yeah, that's like I said. It's got some good people attached to it and everything else, and maybe you're right, but it's like, oh, this is a big coincidence that Ridley Scott's been coming up with a story for this, and this is the first time we're kind of hearing it, you know, and it just happens to be after what happened with Top Gun. It is what it is. We'll see what happens going forward, and, like, maybe they could put together a great story because Gladiator was a good story. Let's see how they're able to, like, add to the story I don't want it to be exactly like, I don't want it to be another guy who's like captured and trying to do something for his family again.
Yeah.
Like they did in Gladiator, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like let's get away from that. Let's make like a new story maybe in this world that actually makes sense and you can still have fun with it. That's what I'm looking for. But going from there, we have the Blade Runner 2099 is getting a series, it looks like, from Amazon. It's four-time Emmy nominee Jeremy Padaswa, some of these names, was signed on to direct the pilot and serve as a producing director and executive producer of Amazon Blade Runner 2099. Padaswa is best known for his work on HBO's Game of Thrones. He has also worked on HBO's Boardwalk Empire, The Pacific, and Apple's The Mosquito Coast. Now, I don't know a lot about Mosquito's Coast, but Boardwalk Empire and Game of Thrones is two big ones out there and coming from HBO. So this piqued my interest a little bit. I'm not a huge Blade Runner 2099, Blade Runner period fan. Like, I like it. It's okay. But I'm not like this huge fan like some people are of the actual like IP. Yeah. But with him being involved, it could turn out to be like a fun world to kind of, you know, see in a series and stuff like that. And could be possibly really good if he brings some of that HBO type of mentality over here to the Amazon brand. With this series, and if Amazon's willing to give him the money to do what he has to do it. So, like, it does pique my interest just because of where the guy's coming from and a couple of the shows that he's worked on.
Yeah.
But besides that, man, like, it's also getting redundant that every time we have news break, almost, we have the news of, oh, there's another IP that's getting a series for some Amazon or Netflix or HBO Max or whatever, right? I mean, some of them have been garbage. Then a couple of them, like The Last of Us that we all watched together and did reviews here for the channel, was super awesome and super amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, to me, honestly, just like I have no interest in Blade Runner. Like the first one was cool. I mean, I've seen it. The remake, 24, not remake, but the sequel to it, 2049. I've seen that one too. It was beautiful. Like it was shot amazingly and stuff, but just boring to me. I don't mean to be a downer, but just like this doesn't get me going at all, just because it's like, how many times are you going to do this story?
Not, I think it's a world that could fit into a series.
Yeah.
If it's done right, it could be super great and super good. Like, so I'm not like super down on it, but it's just like every time we turn around, there's another IP. Like people are just digging through the trash basically. Oh, wait, here's Blade Runner. Nobody's used it yet. Let's make it a series as well and everything else. And some of them may be good. Like I said, The Last of Us doing the video game thing, at least that was a little different because it was a video game and not like an old IP or whatever. And it turned out to be super great. Like one of the best shows I've seen in a long time. Season one was just amazing. If you haven't watched it, go and watch it. But yeah. But speaking of The Last of Us, The Last of Us Season 2 has been talked about a little bit. Neil Druckmann, the creator of the story and everything for the video game and worked on the TV show, in a recent interview with GQ, Neil Druckmann confirmed that the events of the second game will be covered by more than one season, which is pretty good news because there's a lot of stuff that happens in the second game. Like it or hate it, there's a lot of stuff, and maybe if they spread it out and stuff, you won't have as many pacing issues as you did like with the video game.
Yeah.
Druckmann also said that he is most excited for some of the changes the creative team has discussed. The series' other co-creator, Craig Mazin, has indicated that he isn't worried about the fan backlash similar to that levied against the sequel video game. The pair's comments had led to some speculative that they won't follow the storyline of the second game as closely as they followed the first. Mazin also addressed the homophobic review bombing that made episode 3 of the show one of the lowest rated episodes of the first season, saying that he'd rather have a show that lives off tens and ones than a show that lives off fives.
Yeah. Wow. I can't.
That's lowest rank because people went over there because, like, you know, homophobia, whatever you want to call it, homophobic and everything else. Like, they got pissed off because, like, oh, I'm watching this show. And then, like, they give me this gay love story. I mean, we're to the point, like I said, when we were discussing the series at length with our reviews and stuff, is like, I live in South Alabama, man. Like, and I'm over it. Like, I don't care. I'm not over here trying to like hate on people. What you do is what you do. Like, and it's not going to bother me. You know, watching that episode's not going to affect my life at all, period. And it turned out to be a great story. And matter of fact, someone from South Alabama sitting here saying that it might be the best love story that you'll see all year in film. Like, yeah. To be honest with you, it was a great story told in about an hour, a little bit over an hour, I think that episode was. But it was a great story told between two people. And it is what it is. Like, I'm not going to sit here and hate on it because I don't live a life that's the same as that. Like, look, bro, like people do things and different things all throughout life. All throughout, you know, what we do going forward, everybody's different. We all live differently. Like, we can't just go around hating people because people, like, live differently and stuff like that. And let's be honest with you, like, right? So let's say you're a person that's of the Christian faith and you're one of the ones that don't like the episode because of that. Guess what, man? You're not living your religious. That's not how your religion works. Yeah. You're supposed to love everybody, my friend, no matter what they are or who they are or what they do. You're supposed to love all. That's all. That's what it preaches in the Bible. And like, for people to come in here and try to like change some of those narratives and beat up on an episode for that. But that's all I'll say about that part of it. But because I hate it for people that just can't sit there and enjoy the story that was told because it was a great episode of television.
Yeah.
But the rest of the stuff that they talked about there, possibly changing some of the story for season two. I mean, from the second game into this next couple of seasons that they're going to do it on. I think they need to, but I don't think they need to change like the main story arc that's there. I think they need to change it up as far as when things happen, right? Yeah. Like I said, the game had some pacing issues, like it or not, right? So like, I think in the show, they could fix those pacing issues by reordering some things and make it even more meaningful when some things do happen. I don't think the core story needs to be changed at all, but I do think it would serve it better if we actually got things maybe just in a different order than what the video game came in. Yes. And I agree with the gentleman's last comment. He'd rather make a show that's full of tens and ones and some fives, because fives, everybody just don't care.
Yeah.
Ones is because people are passionate about it. Tens is because they're passionate about it in a positive way, and ones is they're passionate about it in a negative way. Either way, those are better than having those four or five ratings. You know what I'm saying? So
yep.
I actually agree with that part as well.
Yeah.
Did you have anything to add there on that one, Matt?
No, I'm good on that one. I think that was pretty expected that they were going to get another season.
Oh, yeah. James Gunn directing Superman over here. Ben Affleck debunked the rumors that he'd be interested in directing Batman, The Brave and the Bold for the new DC universe. When asked about the Hollywood Reporter, he said if the DC came to him and asked him if he wanted to direct something, Affleck said, "I would not direct something for the Gunn DC, absolutely not. I have nothing against James Gunn. Nice guy. Sure, he's going to do a great job. I just wouldn't want to go in and direct in the way that they're doing that. I'm not interested in that."
Yeah.
So, with that being said, my man Ben Affleck came kind of hard a little bit there. Then he kind of backed up. He did say, you know, some nice things in that same comment and everything else. But Ben Affleck, you know, not wanting to be a part of this is something that he probably sees like, oh, they want to have total control, and he doesn't care about for that, right? He wants to have as much control as he possibly can have, and he can't have that doing what they're trying to do over there as far as the team. It's going to be more closely related to what Marvel's doing than anything else. Like, I don't see Ben Affleck wanting to direct something in the Marvel universe either for the same reason.
Yeah.
Now, James Gunn directing Superman, I think, is a dumb decision. The man is in charge of the DC universe right now with his partner, you know, and the biggest thing here is that you need to be working on getting everything together and not trying to direct one of the first movies that's going to come out in that whole like section.
Yeah.
And especially not Superman, because not only are you going to be tied to who gets picked to be Superman, which could be a fatal flaw, which could be a fatal downfall for the whole DC from the very beginning. If they don't pick the right person, that could kill it right at the very beginning. But James Gunn, he's made some movies that we like. The second Suicide Squad, the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. None of those movies he's done in the superhero realm so far belongs remotely even close to Superman. There's no jokes in Superman. It's just a dude trying to save the world. Of course, there could be a couple of comedy moments and stuff like that. Yeah. That's fine. But, like, you know, 30% of your movie doesn't need to be jokes and stuff like that. And, like, that's what he's done with the Guardians of the Galaxy. That's what he's done with the Suicide Squad. I ain't saying that he can't make a more serious movie. Maybe he can. But he doesn't have the experience or even have the proof. And you're going to sit there and direct one of the first movies coming out in DC.
Yeah.
You know, like, and this is at the very beginning stages of this. You got to put the best foot forward. And I don't know if this is going to be the best foot forward, putting James Gunn there directing Superman. I just do not agree with this decision. Like I said, they got a lot of things that they're going to have to shore up. They got a lot of things that they could be in trouble. Like I said, picking the right Superman, putting out a great Superman movie, and yeah, all that. So
Derpy Entertainment says, why does it matter to be serious? I don't think it has to be serious, but I think that Superman is definitely not like a character known for his funny personality or anything like that. Like, he's known as the Boy Scout and stuff. He's kind of vanilla. And Gunn's work previously, I mean, the most hardcore thing I think he's done, I don't know if he directed it, but I know he wrote it. It's a movie called Super with Rainn Wilson. And that's like about a, it's kind of like a superhero movie, but like a realistic take on it, kind of, but whatever. Mm-hmm. But like, that was pretty hardcore. And if he did it like that, I'd be fine. I don't need it to be dark. Like, it doesn't have to be Man of Steel like or whatever. But I definitely think that, you know, the joking should be kept to a minimum and stuff like that. Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. Making jokes every 5 minutes to make me feel.
No. I totally agree with that. I totally agree with what he's saying there. Yeah. Superman is supposed to be the feel-good movie. Like, he's supposed to be like the Boy Scout. He's kind of like the Captain America of the Marvel Universe, for instance, right? He's like the guy that does the right thing and everything else. He's supposed to be a little nerdy and all this other stuff, right? He's not supposed to be funny and cutting jokes. He's not supposed to be out there web-slinging and making jokes and cracks like Spider-Man. You know what I'm saying? He's Superman. Yeah, so, like, Flash. I don't want to watch that movie and see a joke every 10 minutes like he puts in Suicide Squad or he puts in Guardians of the Galaxy. That, to me, is going to turn me off completely 100%. Now, making you feel good movie, that's what Superman's supposed to be. Yeah. He's correct, right? So, like, I do think, in, like I said, it's just one of those things. He's got two things that he has to do. One is get a great Superman. So he has to replace Henry Cavill with a great person, right? Somebody that people's going to like right off the bat. And then they're going to have to make a great movie. Because if they don't, with it being at the very beginning, you know, pretty close to the very beginning of this new, like, franchise, of this new, like, DC, like, starting up, it could be doomed from the beginning, right? Like, we remember, you know, like, what was it? Universal was trying to do the Universal Monsters universe and everything else, and they started out with The Mummy.
Yep.
Things didn't work out very good with that. People didn't like that movie, and that whole, like, series, that whole, like, group of movies was canned after that. And you can't, DC does not need that to happen now, because there's one of the biggest reasons, Marvel has chinks in the armor right now. Marvel's not as solid as what Marvel was. Disney's not as solid as it was a couple of years ago when it came to movies and stuff. They kept knocking them out of the park. Some of the Star Wars movies, I know some of them gets criticized or whatnot, but like some of the Star Wars movies, like Rogue One was hitting it out of the park, making big time money. Force Awakens made big time money. Like all the Marvel movies was coming out and hitting it out of the park on almost every one of them. It looked like, oh my God, you know, they can't be hurt. You know what I'm saying? There was like the big Russian in Rocky IV. Yeah. And now, you know, they get that cut above the eye and they're bleeding. And now's your chance as DC to kind of make a move into this whole area of the superhero genre. This is your chance to step in there and do something.
Yep.
You can't have this falter, because if you falter now, this is your best chance to go after Marvel. This is your best chance to get some of those fans hyped about your movies like they were hyped about the Marvel movies. And you got to put a good step forward. Not saying James Gunn can't do it, and maybe he can. But like I said, you break it down, the dude hasn't done like nothing he's done to me relates to a Superman movie, right? Yeah. Nothing he's done so far, especially in the superhero genre, relates to a Superman style movie. So you have that working against you. And like I said, a lot of people loved Henry Cavill in the part, and them taking him away, there's going to be a lot of haters. Almost no matter who you pick, there's going to be some haters. Yeah. But if you pick someone that's easy to break down or easy to make fun of or whatever, it's going to even, like, them haters are going to grow exponentially. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I just wanted to say, I agree with you here. I love the Suicide Squad.
Oh, yeah. I love that movie
a lot. Yeah.
Love that movie. And I loved I didn't like Guardians of the Galaxy 2 as much as 1, but I love Guardians of the Galaxy 1. Same. I still like Guardians of the Galaxy 2, just didn't like it as much. It was like the jokes on Guardians of the Galaxy 2 was too telegraphed. Like, I knew what joke was going to happen before it was said, sometimes even a couple of minutes before it was even done, and everything else. But, like,
I also trust Gunn that he has definitely has his own vision for it that he thinks is going to work. But, like Justin was saying, I don't know if being the head dude of everything is the best dude to shoot the first big Superman movie. Because he might have too much input or whatever of his own idea.
Like I said, it's just based on his track record so far. Like, if you look back at what he's done so far, I don't see where he has the track record of like, oh, yeah, I trust him with a Superman story.
Yeah.
That's it, right? Like, that ain't saying he can't do it, but that's just saying I don't know if I could trust him with that yet. Maybe he knocks it out of the park, makes one of the best Superman movies in the world and everything else, and I'm technically kind of eating crow, but I'm not saying he can't do it. I'm just saying I don't know what I feel about it yet. You know, this is all speculation, you know what I'm saying, because, like, the movie's not out yet. We can't go watch it and see it and see how good or bad it is. But, and I also agree with this, Disney film, Rogue is the best Disney film, same for Andor and the best show. Rogue One's up there universally. Yeah,
Rogue One, definitely.
And everything else. So, like, I agree with that as well. But, all right, let's move on to the next topic, and that one's going to be...
Yeah, this is a rumor.
Yeah, these are rumors in Deadpool 3. There's rumors going around that veterans from the Fox, X-Men, and Fantastic Four films will be making appearances in Deadpool 3.
Yeah,
Ian McKellen, Patrick Stewart, Jansen are said to be reprising their roles from the X-Men films as Magneto, Professor X, and Jean Grey, respectively. And Lone Griffod is said, what the hell are these names? He's said to be reprising the role as Reed Richards from the first two Fantastic Four.
Oh, that's that dude. Okay.
Yeah. Deadpool 3 stars Ryan Reynolds as a title character and will feature the return of the Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
Yeah. That's cool.
Now, I know the last couple of things I wasn't super excited for. You know, I'm not super excited for the Gladiator sequel. That might be a money grab. I'm not super excited for Blade Runner 2099, because I feel like that could also be the same thing, right? Trying to get subscribers on a streaming service because you're just taking a big IP. Basically, everybody's copying everybody and just trying to grab whatever IP they can go and find. And I wasn't super excited about the James Gunn directing Superman. Now, on this rumor, God, please let this rumor be true, because like, this right here would be fun as hell to watch all these characters get murdered in some kind of horrific way in a Deadpool movie. Because you know that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
They're going to bring Magneto out. They're going to bring all these people out, these different characters. They're kind of going to do the almost sort of the same thing they possibly did with, like, the last Doctor Strange, right? Like, you have these characters and they end up getting killed. Like,
yeah, that was awesome.
I thought that was really cool and different. You know, I couldn't believe Disney even allowed them to do that, to be honest with you.
That man's head. That was dark. Like, how Black Bolt died. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, this right here, man, like, with Deadpool and a Deadpool franchise and a Deadpool movie and everything else, like, bro, 100%. Like, I'm actually excited. I hope this rumor is true, because this could be super fun. Like I said, watching these characters get dismantled and, like, maybe we got Deadpool Wolverine in a glorious fight, which I love from the comic books, because, you know, Deadpool's got the regenerative power. So does Wolverine. Yep.
Well, Deadpool's stronger than Wolverine's, the healing factor.
But they're both, like, tearing each other apart. But you almost have to, like, you know, basically melt them into nothing to, like, totally kill them or whatever. They both would be coming back. So it's a fun fight, even in the comics. And, like, maybe they're fighting each other and then all these different superheroes show up trying to stop them because maybe they're, you know, maybe some civilians are getting hurt because of the fight they're in or something like that. But then Wolverine and Deadpool just turn around, look at them, and then, like, just kill them. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then start their fight again or something. Like, I don't know what they're going to do, but just my imagination is getting me excited to see all these characters be part of this film and just to see all the crazy things that could happen because of
it. Yeah. I was going to say, I mean, I don't like to say this too often about too many people, but if you want to talk about perfect casting, like, Ian McKellen was really good as Magneto, but I also really like Fassbender. But Patrick Stewart as Professor X, the older Professor X, I mean, that's perfect casting right there. How he portrayed him, how he looked, especially once they had him in the real chair. Like in when they had him, when he came out, I guess I could spoil it. It's old enough already. But when he came out in Multiverse of Madness, dude, and they played the theme song from the cartoon, you know, oh my God, that was epic.
Oh, yeah, no, that is one of my favorite things. Scarlet Witch coming out there like Michael Myers and just taking these guys out. And, like,
yep.
I just think they could even have more fun because you could do all the funny moments. You know what I'm saying? Unlike Superman, the last character we talked about that we were talking about, we're afraid there's going to be too many jokes. And Deadpool, bring on the jokes. That's what this character is for, the Merc with the mouth. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Like, this guy right here is about, you know, doing all kinds of crazy things. All the fourth wall breaking stuff you could do with this and have fun with it and be funny and super crazy. Like, this is the kind of movie that literally, they say it all the time, but this is one that fits the bill unlike almost any other, and that is buy you the biggest fucking tub of popcorn they sell, buy that and sit down with your favorite candy, and you just shove all this shit in your face and you enjoy the stuff that you're watching and have a great time. That's what Deadpool is. And I am worried that Disney's doing this one because I'm afraid that they may not let it go as far as it needs to go because for what it is. But with that being said, I'm still excited for it because they still are doing a rated R. I can't believe they're actually allowing that to happen, but they are.
I just want to acknowledge Derpy Entertainment here real quick with this idea. I want Michael Fassbender as Lex Luthor. Now, that is intriguing to me. I think he would be excellent at that role. But as we're talking about rumors and stuff.
No. I mean, that would be cool. Yeah. Like, are they going to start with Lex Luthor in the Superman movie? Like, we don't know how they're going to build the story out. You know what I'm saying? But, like, Lex Luthor would make sense. Mm-hmm. But that's been my biggest problem with, like, Superman this whole time as far as, like, that's why he's never my favorite comic character is because he's superpowered, overpowered, super god, basically, you know, why he's here on Earth and getting the radiation from the sun to make him even stronger. But, like, Lex Luthor, just a bald white dude with a bunch of money. Like,
to me, he's like an evil Batman, an evil Bruce Wayne, you know, like,
yeah. No, I totally agree with that. Like, you know, Lex Luthor's fine, but it's always been like all his top villains, Lex Luthor, just like a normal guy. It's like, how in the world does he ever have a chance against Superman ever? But it is what it is. He's got a bunch of money, so money can almost buy you anything, I guess. So that is how it is.
Yeah.
But I am excited, like I said, about this, rumors about Deadpool 3. I hope they are true, to be honest with you, 100%. And then now, so I hate to get a little negative here, I guess a little bit. I don't know what Matt's comments are going to be about this, but then we got another news story coming out here that Zack Snyder's he got a film for Netflix. Rebel Moon is not just a huge movie, but an animated series and a full-on video game are planned as well. And while Netflix does have a gaming arm, those are usually smaller mobile-focused games and not what Snyder says he's talking about. So he's saying it's supposed to be a bigger game than like just a little mobile game. In an interview with Nerds Queen podcast, he said that the game would be an RPG that is at a ridiculous scale. He acknowledged that the game would take so much time and there was no further details about it. Rebel Moon is a sci-fi film with a fantastic cast, including Sofia Boutella, Charlie Hunnam, Ray Fisher, Jamon Hansu, and Anthony Hopkins. Yeah. The synopsis reads, when a colony in the edge of the galaxy finds itself threatened by the armies of a tyrannical regent, Balasaurus, they dispatch a young woman with a mysterious past to seek out warriors from neighboring planets to help them take a stand. It has an initial release date of December 22nd, 2023, so at the end of this year. He also spoke about SnyderCon, which will take place in Pasadena, California, from April 28th to 30th, the convention is a charity event that will help raise money for the American Foundation of the Suicide Prevention.
Now that's
Autumn Snyder Tribute Fund, paying tribute to Snyder's late daughter. Mm-hmm. SnyderCon will have panels and special screenings of Snyder's DCEU films, and his collaboration with Netflix on Rebel Moon has led some fans to speculate that he has a deal to continue the Snyderverse DC films with a streaming service. Which I found that weird, like that James Gunn and that team over there at WB would even allow this to happen as far as that last comment there, allowing him to do his own like Snyderverse with the DC characters and whatnot at the same time that Gunn and them's trying to like renew DC and do it with different actors and everything else, kind of like and that kind of thing. So I don't know. Like, I don't know why they would allow him to do that. Maybe.
Yeah.
But like the Snyder Con, at first you laugh at it, but then you can't, because like it's going to be for charity and stuff like that. So like you can't laugh at anything for charity, but it's like, oh man, if that one piece of news like for charity wasn't on there, I'd have laughed this thing out the bill. Oh yeah, right.
I mean, he might as well call it EagleCon. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I would have laughed this shit right out the building, but because it's for charity and stuff like that, it's like, okay, cool, whatever. Do what you can for charity. I ain't gonna hate on somebody doing something for charity, no matter how dumb it may be or what you may think about it. So overall, not that bad. I just think it's weird that DC would even allow Snyder to do some stuff with their characters, even if it's just on Netflix or something like that. I mean, I guess it could be kind of cool. You could have this kind of competing thing where Snyder's out there doing his thing with DC characters and then James Gunn and them's doing their thing. But yeah, I just don't know how you can let that happen, because then you'll just have, you'll break the fandom even more into like, you'll have the Snyder fans of DC and then like the non-Snyder fans of DC just going at each other and stuff. So I mean, I don't know. Yeah. It could be interesting, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
All right. With that being said, we're going to go to.
That should say Del Toro's.
Okay. Yeah, I know. I was in a hurry trying to get that done like right before we went on air. But Guillermo Del Toro is like Frankenstein. Might have found its stars. Deadline is. I didn't even know he was doing a Frankenstein for Netflix, but guess what he is? Yeah. They're reporting that Oscar Isaac, Andrew Garfield, and Mia Goth are in early talks to star in the film, which Del Toro is writing and directing. He has been developing the Frankenstein project for some time and has wanted to make a movie centered on the iconic Mary Shelley story for a while. It's unknown whether his vision would be period piece or set in modern times. Also unknown is who would be playing Dr. Frankenstein on his creation, but it's believed that Goth would be playing the doctor's love interest. I mean, this is kind of interesting. It's a story that's been told a lot of times, but I'm always fine, I guess, if somebody can come up with like a unique way to tell the tale and tell the story. It's got a decent, you know, cast there with Oscar Isaac, Andrew Garfield, and Mia Goth. Like, possibly could be super great and stuff. Like, Del Toro is a great director. I mean, there are some movies that he does that are hits and misses and everything else. But, that's just one of those things to where I'm like, yo, this could be super good. It's also on Netflix. Like, I don't know, man. Netflix is kind of, you know, hit or miss. But at least Del Toro's on there. At least it sounds like it's got a good cast.
Yeah.
And hopefully they can come up. Like, and I'm pretty sure Del Toro can. I mean, watch his movies, like I said.
Yeah.
There's some movies that you love, and they're kind of crazy. And then some movies you don't really get into. They're also kind of crazy. So, like, maybe he can do some of his weirdness over here in the Frankenstein universe and, like, do something pretty cool and unique.
Yeah, I mean, his last project, Pinocchio, I know it won for animated feature this year at the Oscars. I honestly haven't even gotten through it. I've tried like two or three times, and I don't think I've gotten further than 30 minutes in. And it's crazy because I love Pinocchio. That's my second favorite Disney movie. But just his didn't work for me, and it was like a shame to me. But I'm excited for this because he loves monsters. You know, that's his thing. He loves creatures and monsters. And Frankenstein's my favorite monster, old school one. So I really want to see what he does with it.
The thing to me was, as always, the cool part about the Frankenstein story was, to me, the Frankenstein was never the monster. And it never the monster.
Yeah.
Frankenstein never was, right? Like, it was always like the doctor himself, right?
Yeah.
The doctor was always the monster to me. Like, why would you ever even think something like, why would you put something like this together and try to bring it to life? Like, I don't get it. It's just, it's freaky, it's weird, it's nasty. But like, the actual monster he creates, to me, is just like trying to do what he can with what he's got, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, he can't never live a normal life. Like, so what do you expect him to do and stuff like that? That's one thing I always found intriguing with the story of Frankenstein, is that the actual monster to me is not the actual monster.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's tragic. That story is super tragic. And if you've ever seen the show, I think it was on Showtime, but it was called Penny Dreadful. It was all about the old school monsters and stuff. Like, the guy that portrayed Frankenstein's monster in that, he did it so well, like showing the tragedy of it. Like, he didn't even want to live, his character. You know what I mean? He felt like Like, he shouldn't even be alive and stuff. It was crazy. It was good, though. But, yeah, that should be something good to look out for.
All right. Another, we started out the thing right before you were able to get in there. You're running a couple minutes late there, Matt. We went ahead and watched and did a reaction to Star Wars Jedi Survivor, which is really positive because, like, the game before it was good. This game right here looks like it could be good as well and everything else. But we got this. Screenwriters Damon Lindelof and Justin Britt Gibson have exited the Star Wars project that Charmaine Obaid Chinoy remains slated to direct, according to Jeff Snyder at Above the Line. So Jeff Snyder, somebody we used to watch a lot, part of the movie trivia schmodowns out there breaking news. Lindelof and Gibson turned in a draft of the script in mid-February and parted ways with the project just days later, according to sources. Lucasfilm has a new writer on board, but their identity is unknown. Production is slated to begin in February 2024, ahead of the film's planned release date of December 19, 2025. Plot details remain under wraps, but the project is going to be unveiled at Star Wars Celebration next month, along with its title and a brief synopsis.
Yep.
So that's something they're going to be throwing in there. That's some news right there. But you know what? I'm glad it's happening now. Like, this is, some people look at, you know, this as super negative or whatnot. But it's like, hey, bro, if they wrote a script, you got them to write something, and they wrote it and they put it in there, they turned it in, and it looks like total garbage.
Yeah.
Like, don't start making a movie based on it. Fix that shit now. I'm tired. Like, it happened a couple times already in the Star Wars, like with Rogue One. While they're doing the sequel trilogy and stuff like that, when they change like directors and stuff like halfway through the project, like, we don't need to be having that crap being done while the project's being done or halfway through the project. We need these things to be fixed way before that and everything else. But like, just to be totally 100% honest with you, I don't think this is a totally negative. Like, some people are trying to portray it that way. Like I said, I'm glad it's happening now and not later. Yeah. And they have time to do their thing and put the best story out there, because the same thing I was talking about with Superman in this new DC universe, the next Star Wars film needs to be a good one. Needs to be a good one. Like, you've been waited all this time. You gave all this space. This is a drawback of them pulling the brakes. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they were pumping the brakes. Oh, well, let's wait on Star Wars. Let's don't make a new movie really super fast. Let's wait on it. Well, that's fine, right, if you think that's the right decision. But if you wait, the longer this film takes to get out there, the more it's going to be criticized. What, you had 6 years to work on this damn thing and come up with a story, and this is what you're giving us? That's going to be your pushback right there. Already, I can already see it on Twitter. I can already see it online everywhere on the internet. Like, oh, wait, you got 7 years to develop this thing, and this is what you came up with? God, this is garbage. That's what I can see the comments being done and said. So that's the drawback of them waiting so long, you know. At least if you're pumping out some movies, you could be like, ah, oh, man, you know, we only had a couple of years to develop this. Maybe if we'd have took our time, we could have did a better job. You don't have that excuse on this next Star Wars movie.
Yeah, and you went through enough directors and stuff. You know, you can't play those games.
Well, no, I'm getting kind of irritated because the same thing with DC before James Gunn and them pulled up. You got Superman, one of the most known superheroes in the universe, in the galaxy, baby. Like, let's go ahead and put it that way. And you got him sitting on a bench because you can't, like, come up with another story for the guy. Like, you can't make a Superman 2, like, come out with another movie and stuff. He's just sitting on the sidelines, like, being a bit part character. Like, and Star Wars, same thing. Like, you're Disney, and you own one of the biggest properties, if not the biggest property of all time in Star Wars. And you can't, like, you have all the money in the world, pretty much, and you can't come up with a story. You can't get everything together and come up with some kind of story to put out there. Now, I do give them props. Disney's been doing good with Star Wars. They've been falling off a little bit with the Marvel series, but like with Star Wars, as far as their shows go, like Andor, The Mandalorian so far in season 1, 2, and 3, even like the Book of Boba Fett and like Obi-Wan Kenobi. Now, maybe those two wasn't your favorite ones, but they were still good, right? They wasn't, those two shows, for instance, may not have been great, but they were good and that you had some fun times with them. So I do think overall Disney's been doing pretty good with Star Wars when it comes to the shows, but for them not to have a movie already out or at least coming out pretty soon is ridiculous. Like, it's just, ah, man. And they don't even have to reinvent the wheel. Like, I am getting sick and tired of this. Is like, there's a couple of new books that's came out since Disney, like not even an old book, but new books that's came out since Disney's taken over. Like, that there's a couple of those stories that you could have made a movie. You could have made an adaptation of those books into a film already by now. And it could have been done rock solid and done some good stuff, you know, like just a couple of things and different stuff that they've had. And some of the books, like I said, like when Disney took over, have kind of hit. There's some people that really enjoy those stories and stuff. And it's just ridiculous to me that you can't get together and put something together for Star Wars. Yeah. Like, bro, stop being chicken shits. Like, let's don't beat around the bush, man. It's because you're scared. You're scared of some internet trolls. Like, literally, some internet trolls has, like, made you scared to put out anything for Star Wars, which is just ridiculous. It's, like, one of the biggest things you can make money off of and stuff like that. You just tell them, like, have 10 people. Have 10 different, like, people come up with Star Wars stories. Let Rian Johnson do his Star Wars story. Let Rian Johnson do the damn thing, man. Stop being stupid. Like, okay, whatever. The Last Jedi has its critics. Last Jedi has its detractors. Most of the things that happened with The Last Jedi is because Rian Johnson couldn't play in his own story. He had to deal with a bunch of garbage from some other characters and stuff like that. Like characters that had, you know, just duffel bags of like stuff that they were bringing with them. He doesn't have to play in that field. He can do his own story with his own characters in Star Wars. The man loves Star Wars and he's a great director. Let him do his story. I don't get why that stuff can't be done, but let Rian Johnson do a story. Like, and like I said, have 10 people come up with different stories and stuff like that for different time periods and pick the best thing that comes across your desk that you think you can really make into a film. It's getting ridiculous.
Yeah. All right. I think that wraps it up.
Yeah, that's pretty much, that was the last story right there. Like I said, thanks everybody. For coming in, for doing your thing, for being at Derpy Man, appreciate you in the chat. Yep. Brandy, appreciate you in the chat. Everybody that was in the chat, thank you guys for the comments and stuff. We like to play off of those a little bit and everything else. Thank you to all the Patreons, like always, that does their thing and lets us do what we like doing, like just talking about this stuff and having fun and all that kind of stuff. Thank you guys, each and every one of you, no matter if you're part of Hambone's Heroes all the way up to the LGR execs. Just thank you for everything that y'all do and everything else. And with that being said, guys, well, this is, yeah, always got to have, I got to have that like pre set up so I can just hit the button.
I'm frozen.
But that, with that being said, guys, until next time,
please.
Yeah. Just stay sexy. Choose new tracks like who's that? I'm new, come back better than last. Yeah, it's a new me, never gonna look back. Never gonna look back. Cause damn, I was built to last. You move slow and I move fast. And that's back.